listen to the show.
Radio.
Oh, now they put that on there. Welcome to the show. Our guest today is James Christopher. He's the director of the Austin Revolution Film Festival. He's also a filmmaker, writer, teacher, does a little bit of everything.
Handsome.
Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hey,
handsome,
great. Thanks for having me.
I was saving that for last.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's the mustache and beard. That's what it is.
It really does. It really, whatever I find whatever I can do to hide my face makes me that much more handsome. No, it's good to be on again, man. I hope all's well.
It is. And I know all's well with you guys. You guys have been really fantastic. Hey, I'm going to talk about the Revolution Film Festival. I'm going to start with a quote from Movie Maker magazine, an article there. It's by Jason Tostevin. Did I say that right?
You did, yes. He is a filmmaker and runs the Nightmare Film Festival in Columbus. But yeah, Jason Tostevin is his name.
I think we've had him on the show before too. But his opening for the article was, "It sounds like a Movie Maker's version of Big Rock Candy Mountain." I know. There's a festival out there somewhere where being selected carries weight. The screenings are packed. The lineup is a who's who. And the festival director treats you like a star, and the other attendees welcome you with open arms. He says, a pipe dream, right? But then he goes on to say, it's the Austin Revolution Film Festival.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good intro there. Description, too.
Yeah, it was. And humbling. What they do for these movie maker things is they pick festivals to cover, and what they do is they pick attendees that are there as opposed to, having me write something or something. And so when I read that, it was kind of, one of those things that was super complimentary. I feel like maybe to some degree unearned yet, but it kind of makes us want to work a lot harder to make sure we earn that compliment.
Yeah. And you guys, let's just start with how you guys started. I mean, you're movie makers yourself, you and Twitchy Dolphin Flicks.
Yeah.
And how you guys.
Really, I mean, as you know, because I know you were on my sets, we've been on several of them, and we started doing this, a really, really long time ago, and we never felt like, for whatever reason, when we first started playing film festivals, we never got a chance to play Austin. And it was the kind of thing where, obviously Austin has three great film festivals. Well, okay, they have three big film festivals. I think one of them is great. I think one of them is not really in keeping with the city, and I think one of them has a real problem with how they treat women. Controversial on your show in the first 30 seconds.
No, that's fine.
But they do. But they do. And, but we weren't playing anything. And we sort of noticed that what they were providing as far as for content for the Austin audience was a lot of really great films that mostly had a Hollywood connection of some sort. And we felt like, that's not what we were necessarily doing. But we were also seeing a lot of films on the circuit that were providing something very different for audiences that also weren't getting played. And so, we had started out by getting a blow up screen and, setting something up in our backyard. And that's really where it began. And then I was like, well, I got the screen, maybe I'll invite somebody else to bring their short film and they can play it. And then it went from that to, it says 7 years, but really it was a little bit longer than that, to being what it is now, which is, a 5-day festival with multiple venues and the reputation that we've built. And, it's something that we take, like, this mission, this idea of revolution, and we take it to heart. And so it is the kind of thing where, all the compliments and the accolades that the festival itself gets, we don't really take that as the end of any kind of finish line, but really as a motivation to keep working hard for filmmakers. And so, it's been funny, Dwayne, like, when the movie maker thing happened, a lot of people that had been ignoring us for 7 years all of a sudden didn't want to ignore us anymore. And it's just funny to me. But we're taking it for what it is. We might not be on the list next year. You know, who knows why the list is the list, but we're excited to be on it. And all we're going to do is kind of use that to try to raise the profile of our festival and the filmmakers that are playing in it.
Yeah, let's tell everybody what the list is. It's the Movie Makers 50 Fest Worth the Entry Fee. And that's a pretty good distinction there.
Yeah, it is. And you know, especially for, you know, it's funny to me because, you know, I was in the middle of this big Facebook debate, and which is always a mistake, right? Has anybody been in a Facebook debate that where it worked out smart? But, you know, I was actually in defense of Jason's Fest, and you know, filmmakers will like to pop off and they would say, you know, that I think charging an entry fee is sketchy and you shouldn't charge one. And all your money should be made on tickets and sponsors. And, you know, so we can walk down that road and we can have a logical conversation about it. And the fact of the matter is, particularly in Austin, where we have one of the largest genre festivals in the world, two of the most well-known film festivals, period, in the world, our sponsors and the people that buy tickets, they want to go see movies with famous people. So if I were to have a festival funded completely on sponsorship dollars and on ticket sales, I could not appeal to the – I could not program the kind of film I want to program, which are people that are looking for an audience.
Right.
And I will tell you that we had a large theater chain in town offered to sponsor our festival years ago, and part of the requirement was they got to have a say over the majority of the slate, and we told them no. That our slate is our slate. There is a group of – there are films out there that need to get programmed. So, you know, it's all about mission for us, and so we are – you know, we're trying to do our best to do that. And I know that I forgot your question and completely rambled. I'm sorry.
No. We were just talking about being on the list of 50 fests.
On the list,
worth entry fee.
Yeah.
It's understandable.
Cool because there's – yeah, and it's cool to, you know, now, and I'm going to be honest, like, it's cool to be on the list with some festivals that, you know, I will openly admit are much bigger. Austin Film Festival's on the list, and I love those guys. I have actually played there and have actually, you know, had scripts and competition there, and, you know, it's obviously Slam Dance. So to be in that same breath is super cool for us, just particularly with what the mission of our festival is.
Yeah, and one thing with the argument of you guys doing sponsors that only want famous people or movies is then you're competing against them and South by Southwest for those sponsors.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is you're exactly right. And while I believe in our mission, like South by Southwest in particular is a large corporate event and it would be no competition, you know, and it's funny to me how, I think there are some sort of similar values that go on in Austin Film Festival, at least in particular, the way they treat writers and everything. And we actually, the members of the ARF team every year participate because we want to support them. Like, I think having a festival like those festivals are super good for the community. They're just not the only thing. And so, you know, our niche is our niche because of what we believe in. It just so happens that we're able to fly under the radar a little bit because of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and what does it mean to be the top reviewed festival on Film Freeway?
That's the best. For me, that's the best. And it's the kind of thing where again, I'll openly say I don't know that we've earned that spot, and what it means is we're going to keep trying to earn that spot. Not all of reviews are great. There are some reviews that had, you know, there's some reviews you can immediately dismiss, like, oh, they're mad they didn't win. But some of them, you know, had a point, and but it means everything. Like the fact that, you know, I think we have over 170 five-star reviews, or at least a five-star average out of 170. And if you want to look any further, the fact of the matter is that Nightmares Film Festival, that's Jason Tostevin's festival, is number two, and they're right behind us because there are two festivals built on very similar values of integrity, of trying to do our best, you know. And for us, you know, every single thing is designed for us to do what we want to do within our community that isn't necessarily super receptive to this festival, to these films, I mean. So, you know, for example, we talked a lot about what it's like to be in Austin. Well, one of the things that I think a lot of people at first blush aren't cool about is the fact that a lot of our festival screenings are going to be at the Crown Plaza Hotel this year. And okay. That isn't because we can't afford a theater, and it's not because we don't want a theater. Well, no, it is because we don't want a theater. Like, the fact of the matter is we feel like what ARF is good at is bringing people together. And so, as you can probably imagine, renting a theater like the Alamo Draft House for two screens for basically 14 hours a day on a Friday and a Saturday would be cost prohibitive.
Right.
We could probably afford to do one, but to me, I feel like having a robust group of filmmakers is more valuable. So, you know, yes, we screen in the hotel, but what we do is we hire an AV company. So it's not like it's crappy, crappy screen with computer speakers. Like I watched a movie at a couple weeks ago. Like we have a full AV setup. We have the biggest screen that will fit in the room. You know, so we make it that way. But here's the benefit. The benefit is everybody's is staying in the hotel. There's a full bar in the hotel. People are hanging out. People are talking.
Right.
And then people are collaborating. And I think this year we already have two submissions from films that were born at previous festivals. And to me, that tells you the power of what our festival's here to do. I will straight up tell you, if all you care about is exhibition, then we can't do the Alamo Draft House every single night. But you're going to have a good exhibition at our festival, and at the same time, you're going to get a lot of other values. And I think it's those reasons why we have that many five-star reviews on Film Freeway.
Yeah.
We're building a team.
Yeah, and let's go towards the building a team thing with collar filmmaking. What's that mean to you?
So yeah, the blue collar filmmaking thing, man, to me, it really is what we're about at just about every level, right? So for me, blue collar filmmaking is filmmakers that are making the movie by any means necessary. They can't really outspend problems, so they are outthinking them and then therefore outworking them. And, our hope is that people start to realize that there's a lot of good stuff being made for $15,000 or $20,000 or, you know, sometimes less than that. And so for us, for blue collar filmmaking, it just means you're blue collar, you're hardworking, you're gritty, you're going to work to get your film made. And that's really what we are, what we're about and what we're trying to celebrate at our festival.
Yeah. And that goes back to you guys being blue collar filmmakers yourself. When you first started.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't know what to do with a big budget, you know, I remember my film professors at UT always talking about like limitations will make you a better storyteller. And I absolutely believe that, you know, our festival programs like based on story first. Right. So we're not about having it be glitzy and shiny and perfect isn't what we're interested in. We're interested in real stories of all genres. And, you know, we as we get closer to our program kind of starting to take shape, we've got films that are more expensive than others, and we have films that are relatively inexpensive. And so we really are just really working on having diversity in our program, but also celebrating the fact that there's a lot of people out there making a movie because they're compelled to, not like because they're trying to win the lottery and sell an independent film.
Yeah, and you guys, as filmmakers, Twitchy Dolphin Flicks, you guys were in several festivals throughout the years. How do your business practices differ from some of those other festivals?
You know, I'd like to say that our festival is born out of every single thing we've seen that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it comes from the things that we've seen that we think are really not good practices and are really, to a degree, I don't want to say morally reprehensible, but maybe. But no, there are just certain things that we're not willing to do, Dwayne. Us, we are not. It is not our goal to bilk filmmakers out of money. Like, we don't charge for stuff. Like, we don't charge for extra nominations. We don't charge for, attending events. Like, once you get in and you get a badge, you get into everything. As a personal preference, our festival isn't built around a super, like, red carpet-y award ceremony. So we don't charge for one. We don't have one there. And I think it also, like, again, ours is about the party and getting to know each other. And so it's hard to rationalize that when we're all dressed up in tuxedos and in a hotel ballroom. But, for us, we are not going to charge for, like I said, extra award nominations. We're not charging for anything extra once you get into the festival outside of your own travel, which is expensive enough, so I'm not going to add to it. We're not going to do things like I've been at festivals where the festival runners won awards. I sat there and watched a film festival runner win a juried award at their own festival and then give a speech. This festival is not about my ego. This festival is not about anything other than celebrating the filmmakers who made the film and came down to and gave us the honor, because that's what it is, to screen with them. And so, that's just it. We're watching every movie, we're reading every script, we are programming based on our guidelines, and then we are going to, one of the other things that really drives me crazy is when a festival will – I've seen this before, where festivals will still be taking submissions, yet they've released their whole slate.
Oh, wow.
Which means they're still accepting monies from filmmakers who cannot get in because they're full. And so for me, we are not going to do that stuff. We are going to run our festival with integrity and transparency, and then also do our best to make sure that everybody there has a good time. And we are going to program based on those sort of moral requirements that we have.
You're talking about the programming. How many films will you guys be playing this year?
It's always a fluid number. We always look to, we basically program by time. We have X number of minutes. And so, this is where filmmakers, I always talk about the shorter you can make your film, the better, because it becomes easier to program. Like, if I have a 30-minute short film that I love, but I also have an 18-minute short film that I love and a 12-minute short film that I love, I can either disappoint two filmmakers or one. And so, I can't necessarily answer. We will do our best to – we somehow seem to sell around 125 to 130 films every year. And, that probably feels like where we're heading this year. We'll have about two more hours of programming available to us this year, because we'll run three screens for about 4 hours Friday night. So we'll have a little bit more leeway there. But, yeah, I would say about 125 to 130.
That's a pretty good large number anyway.
And it's not something that we can't manage. There's always the talk of like, well, you could run three rooms now and, run three screening rooms all day. But I feel like, I don't want to put our staff or our volunteers out just for the benefit of more. So we are going to do our best to put together the best lineup that we can that fits in the time slots that we have and address sort of expanding the festival later on.
What genres do you play?
We play all of them, man. We are a multi-genre festival. So we program for that. So, we will play horror films and comedies and dramas and music videos and everything. And then we really sit down and we really build our blocks and build our screening blocks to make sure that there's a representation. And the point of that is my hope is that the Austin audience will start to look for more film program than just what is fed to them, at some of the larger festivals. And I think the way to do that is to make sure that we program a little bit of something for everyone. And we're almost mathematical with how we figure some of that stuff out, where you know, we're like, hey, we need X number of comedies to make up this percentage of what we're playing in the narrative short category or something like that. So we really do make a point of really being pretty meticulous about having a good, diverse program from genre stuff.
You guys do like web series and TV shows and.
Yeah, we'll do web series. We'll do TV pilots, which was a new category last year that's gotten pretty popular. Music videos and trailers and all kinds of fun stuff.
You also do screenwriting.
Yeah, so we have four screenwriting competition or screenwriting categories. We're going to have a feature film category. We have a short film category, a TV pilot category, and then a student screenplay category for high school and college students. And we have the student category so that way they can submit at a little bit lower cost than,
right,
you know, kind of what the professionals are playing. And, you know, we're very excited about that. We're actually adding to our screenplay competition this year where we're going to have a pitch competition in which, you know, for people that want to be a part of it, and the rules will kind of come out later on, but for people that want to be a part of it, they can submit. And then they'll do a video pitch, and then a couple weeks after the festival, we'll email them a link to their pitch if they need to use it for marketing of their screenplay in any way.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
What other new information do you have about the festival for this year?
So, you know, every year we sit down and we have a really harsh, like conversation with ourselves on how to make it better, how to be better at it. And, first we are going to have a bunch of new films, and I'm actually going to, while we're still live, announce early acceptances, I mean. And so we're super excited to have the film Muse, which is a horror film based on the Irish legend of the artist and her muse. Very, very excited about that. We're very, very excited about a feature film called Blue, which is a dark comedy about suicide. So we feel like it's a really, really good indie, and just the writer-director has a great voice, and we're super excited to have her in her film. And then one of our veteran filmmakers, Romina, is bringing her new short film, The Visit. So that's just three of the 125 to 130 films that we're submitting and are selecting, and I wanted to give them a shout-out on the show that we're excited to have them. And that we have, you know, plenty of spots open. We are judging. We took a break today to judge. We are heading back into judging films after the show. So we have plenty of room. So, you know, submit with confidence. But again, we just have a lot of cool stuff. We're gonna have a lot of different panels. We are going to space that we're moving into from the old hotel that we use. We're gonna change Alamo Draft Houses. So we'll be at the Alamo Draft House Mueller. How do you say it? Is it Mueller?
That sounds good to me.
I think it's Mueller.
Where is that at?
That's in the old airport, in the old airport development.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll be at the Crown Plaza Hotel, which, for those of y'all who are former ARFers, know the biggest issue we had was the travel distance between the Alamo Draft House on Slaughter and the DoubleTree Hotel on 12th and 35. Well, this will be about a 5-minute commute between hotel and the new venue. So, new venues. We're going to have again new panels and just new opportunities to really for everybody to get together. We're going to have drink specials named after some of our more veteran filmmakers. So, again, everything is just kind of being redesigned as it is every year to make it. To keep it moving in the same direction. We don't ever want to be stagnant. And then that way we can continue to be the festival people want to come to.
Yeah. You mentioned Muse. Who was the filmmaker for that?
I'm pulling that up right now. So, but the movie is really, really good. Creepy, good scares, beautifully shot. And, you know, kind of a nice take on that topic. The filmmaker was a gentleman named John Burr, and they're out of L.A. And they're just we're you know, he wrote and directed it. It's his first feature, which you really can't tell, and just a nice crisp horror movie that's just beautifully shot.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I saw by watching the ones last year that you let us screen. Everything was really well edited. Sound was great. Video was perfect. And that's a lot of problems with some of the younger people that, you know, sometimes they don't concentrate on sound or lighting.
Yeah, that's the old adage, right? Is even if you don't have great sound recording, there are ways to make your sound not a distraction. And yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. We have a lot of great films, and the production values continue to get better and better and better. You know, and just from what we're seeing, what's so exciting and what's going to make the way we program is we, you know, the last weekend, the day after submissions close, we have about 20 judges that judge all year. And it really comes down to the scores and then me looking at what we need. And then just, I slot as we go. And then the last weekend is we'll all get together and hole up and basically have a knife fight over whose film gets in versus whose doesn't. And it's cool because the judges really get passionate about the films that they sort of connect with. And,
right.
You know, these three that we're able to announce have actually been through all their judging, and just the judges all raved. And we thought it would be a good idea to kind of let them know early so they can make an attempt to get here.
Right. When is the absolute deadline?
So it used to be, we had to move it back a little bit because we wanted to accommodate for that weekend. So the final deadline is June 23rd. We have a deadline on May 31st, which is the end of this month. And then it'll go up. But we try to, like, again, like one of the things is we try to keep our submission fees. For as much as we don't give waivers, try to keep our fees as low as possible. So they top out at $65 at the very, very end for a feature film. And what we can also commit to saying is that every film gets watched by multiple judges, even if it submits the last weekend. That's part of why we all kind of hole up and basically just camp out for about 48 hours and do nothing but watch films, because a lot of times we'll get, you know, 5 or 10 films on the last day, and it's not fair to the filmmaker if they don't feel like that film was considered. And I will say that, you know, I know a lot of film festivals say that, but, you know, one of our Alamo Drafthouse films last year was a great film called The Gateway, and that was submitted, I mean, like with 2 hours to go in the deadline. And it did. It made us kind of sitting there going, okay, I think we have our feature slate set, and then his film came in, and then we had to reshuffle everything.
Right.
So we, you know, it's in our best interest to play everything that fits our mission. And what is our mission? Our mission is story first. It's blue collar filmmaking. It's honest filmmaking. And so we do our best to sort of not have it just be about, well, this production value is better than that production value, which is better than that production value. We do our best to make sure that we are filling what the mission of the Austin Revolution is. We've sort of earned an unfair reputation for not taking movies with names because we haven't played a lot yet, but we're also not going to see, oh, that this sort of modularly famous person was in your film, so we're going to play it automatically.
Right. Let's give them, we got less than a minute for the live feed. The website is austinrevolution.com.
Yes, sir.
And then
you can submit from there. It'll
Facebook.
Take you right to – yeah, I think everything is listed there. But yeah, we're on Facebook, you know, /Austin Revolution. But the website's really good, and it links you to the submission link and all that good stuff.
So tell us a little bit about how many entries you guys have already received. We talked a little bit about that before the show.
Well, yeah, we try to keep – well, you know, we kind of don't usually talk publicly about the raw numbers. And I don't – because – mostly because they're deceiving, because they split between scripts and actual films. And so it kind of, you know, gets hard to measure, but,
right.
We do, I mean, we have seen an uptick, and it has continued to, grow. What we try to do though is be reflective of that. And we try to make sure that, you know, so if we reach a barrier, we get exponentially more submissions that we had the year before, we're going to try to find a way to screen more films.
Okay.
I don't ever want to be the festival where it feels like I can't get in. And,
right.
And I know that that's contradictory to saying that we have to up our standards, because we do, you know, but we really don't want it to become this thing where, like, you know, I submit to Sundance every year, and I always joke that I might as well just burn $50, and I don't want to become that festival. So it really is about striking a balance, and I have a great team, and, you know, we've talked about Jason Tostevin a lot on this, you know, him and guys like Carla Rodriguez, I know that you know, and mm-hmm. some others, they're all really good about, hey, listening to me and let me talk through these challenges that I think we have.
Well, and they've been through some of those challenges too, so it helps that from that end.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, it is a thing that we are definitely cognizant of, and you know, the fact of the matter is I want people to get in. I do all the work on this festival up until the day the festival starts, and then I do nothing but party with filmmakers, and I have a great time. So
there you go.
It behooves me to have as many good films and as many good filmmakers in there as possible. You know, I'm trying to have a good time with them as much as they're trying to have a good time there. And we do, I think, do a good job of that too, Dwayne. I don't feel like I've never seen – nope, one other time at Nightmares, both times. Such a supportive award ceremony, because I don't ever get the vibe that it feels like there's a competition going, that instead people are generally happy when other people are winning. And I think that mm-hmm. that's just super, super valuable, man. And like when I sit back and I watch it happen, like when I see these filmmakers on set together, it there's always a part of me that's like, well, why didn't they call me? But really it's like, it's the best feeling to see that people are putting aside ego to work on stuff, because ego does nothing but get in people's way.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Well, you even mentioned it, Jason and Carlo, they're both filmmakers as well, and you've worked with them for several years.
Yeah. And you know, differently in obviously different contexts and you know, they're both of them, and you know, like I know you know Mike Donis and a lot of those mm-hmm. same guys that have been around us, you know, for before there was a festival, you know, got involved because it was a festival. And you know, I just think about like the thing that I try to push from into ARF that I did learn from Jason is like generosity of time and generosity of spirit. And I remember that Mike Donis, not Mike Donis, Colby Wallingsford and Chris Koppel, who I know you know Chris. We had driven to mm-hmm. Cleveland for a festival, and nobody was in our screening but Jason and his writing partner, Randall. And they stayed the whole 2 hours and asked, I mean, and they treated us like they asked the kind of questions, like it's like they took it upon themselves to make sure it was not a wasted road trip for us. And, you know, we've been best friends ever since. And so, you know, I think not since the military have I met a group of men and women that are so, if you give them the chance to take ego off the table, that are so generous and so open to sharing time and knowledge and information. And that's something I really want to grow in this festival.
Well, I think the way you act as a person is working for you in the festival. I mean, you're fun to be around, first of all, because I've been on set with you.
That's for sure.
You are. And everybody that works with you is that way too. It's not just you. I mean, all of them have been that way. Anytime I've been around you guys, it's always been fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're not out here to get rich, so we might as well have a good time doing it. you know, and that extends even to my teaching. Like, I never thought that I would enjoy teaching film. You know, shout out to St. Michael's, shout out to Bella Marco and Ryan Lenhart, my incoming seniors, and what a great job they're doing. But, you know, I never thought that I would have that much fun. But watching them, it's the same kind of spirit trying to build an art. Really
right.
Think when they're making a film, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money at this someday. And some of them will. They are in it because how do we make a movie as good as we can? And
right.
It's honestly inspiring and gives me a lot of motivation to keep doing this, just being around those kids.
And how important it is for them to be able to see the festival in some of those movies and stuff.
Very, 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 very important. We actually make a point of we play some of their films in our student block, and then we bring them down for the day. And I have really great bosses. Heidi Sloan and Steve Moreland are my two kind of immediate supervisors, and they are so supportive and behind this. And it really does matter because they're able to see movies that are good and see how they can be made under maybe less than ideal circumstances. But we've also shown them work that we knew wasn't great, that they can learn from that too and learn self-awareness and learn to say, hey, just because I made a film doesn't mean I'm some sort of genius. I called my students, they're the Tarantino larva, and I want them to get away from that and learn that they have to not be a retread of stuff that they like, but in fact try to make their own thing. And I think that they do a great job, and they definitely keep me young for sure.
Yeah, because it's hard to keep up with those high schoolers.
I tell you what, I sometimes come home. We talked before the show about how ARF has sort of when we had the movie maker news, my own writing slowed down, but I also come home and just exhausted just from dealing with them, and it's the best kind of exhaustion because you feel like, in this industry, as I know you're an art teacher as well, like sometimes we get the students that don't always have an automatic place anywhere else. And
Right.
yet they can come to our programs and they can all of a sudden not only do they not have they found a place, but they have found something they're good at. And that's you can't put a price on that. You really can't.
No, yeah, that's a unique thing for art
Yeah.
field. Like, yeah, these students.
Yeah, I never would have gotten girlfriend in high school if it hadn't been for theater. And Jimmy Devlin was good at football, so I went to theater.
We didn't have theater in high school. We
Oh,
didn't
we had
even
a
have
great
art in
theater
high school.
program. You did? Oh, we had a great theater program, and I remember when I first did it on a whim, and then I ended up not playing football after that, because I definitely had found what I thought I was good at and had a drama scholarship going into college and all that stuff. But and some of there's a guy down in Houston named Daniel Kano who's still, somebody that I just cherish in my life, and we acted together. So, when I get to go see like St. Michael's do their plays and stuff, shout out to Ivan Clousey, who's in A Chance of Snow, actually he's an actor. But when I get to go do that, it's like I sit there and I watch it, and I remember just how alive I felt on stage. And again, all of that dovetails into what I'm trying to do with my students and their program and our festival, giving you a chance to feel alive, even if it's for a weekend.
Yeah, and we were also talking about how there's really not that many schools in the state, probably even in the U.S., that has a filmmaking program as far as high schools go.
No, not at the high school level, and not the one like the one we have. And again, I'll the administration at St. Michael's, and then some of the parents and some of my teachers, like Leah Sparza is a mom that I will have her third student in that program starting next year. They really went all in on it, and I told them, like, this is what it can be. Like, it can be a class, or we can build a program. And it started with me coming in the morning and teaching kind of a generic film class to, we teach five classes now, and we teach anything from, a film one class, which is basically film studies. Here's what a movie is, because they don't know anymore. They are
Right.
watching stuff on their phones, or they're watching TV. Here's a movie, and how does a movie work, and how's this movie different to another than another one? And then we have screenwriting classes and two different types of production classes and editing classes. And so it really is becoming, where now that they're writing their own stuff and coming to me and saying, can we organize a thing to shoot on the weekend that's not part of school? And so I'm like, now we have a cinema club that's doing that too. And it's really re-inspired. It's fired up something in me I didn't know I had. And I've become the teacher that's like, if we could have one more week of school, that'd be great because we could get some of this stuff finished. But it really is awesome to watch them be empowered and then start to create their own stories. And I think that, we with the film program, we're uniquely able to do that because they have to write. If they don't write their own scripts, there is no movie. And so
right.
I think it's cool to see them get to start from the beginning and work something all the way through.
Are you familiar with the one-act play contest?
I am, yeah.
High schools?
Yeah, and we actually got a really good documentary on that to ARF this year that I really, 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 really liked. So,
are you aware that they also do a one-act film contest through the same group?
No, I was not aware of that. I was not aware of that.
I wasn't either. I was looking it up a couple of weeks ago, and I found it, and it's like, well, here's a place. A lot of people don't even know they do this, but you should look it up. Just do search for Texas One Act Film, to UIL competition.
Oh, absolutely. Well, do you think that, like, I mean, is it open to like, because like we're not UIL because we're private. We did just win state for our TAPS competition, so boom.
I would check it out and just see it. Maybe private schools are allowed or not, but it should tell you in there.
Yeah, and we definitely, like, we submit our student films get submitted to festivals all the time, and, you know, they do well, and, you know, they win some, lose some, but they are, what I really like about some of the students that are kind of key to it is they want to know, like, sometimes to an unhealthy level, they want to know, like, why didn't we win, and how can we fix it, and they haven't yet matured to the point where they realize that it's subjective, and sometimes the
yeah.
reason why you didn't win is because you made a Christmas short film and the person who judged it can't stand Christmas, you know,
right.
rooted for Potter and It's a Wonderful Life, and that's why you didn't win. And you can't fix it for that person. And you
yeah.
just have
and,
to make...
And you,
yeah.
And you will probably never know exactly why.
No.
I mean, if it's obvious, you know, things like sound or video quality or something like that, yeah, you can kind of say you need to work on this. But if it's a good film starting out, you just don't know. You guys, you have 20-something people looking at it.
Yeah, and what if you made
a
romantic comedy and my judge sat down having just got dumped? The last thing he wants to see is something about how love will
right.
conquer all. And that is a reality
right.
that happens. You know, I've actually caught myself judging and realized that, you know, I'm a huge Astros fan, and the Astros had lost a game in heartbreaking fashion. And I sit down and judge
mm-hmm.
a film. And I realized that I probably should not judge films right now and find some other way to take out my frustration. So, yeah, it really is subjective. And I tell filmmakers all the time, I said, look, when I get a submission, I probably get 5% that are automatic yeses and 5% that are automatic nos, and the 90% in the middle, I can go either way.
Right.
And that's probably true.
And, you know, there are a lot of filmmakers out there that are childish about not getting in.
We get it all the
time.
And I'm fortunate enough that I don't seem to get the pushback as bad as some of my friends, but I see their emails. They'll like send them to me. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, they can be brutal. And it's almost like I came to your house, punched your mom in the face, and then said, by the way, you got rejected from my festival. Like, and I got to know, like, at least the festival runners that I know that are also filmmakers, it's the worst part of it is sending out the rejection. I hate it. And I'm the guy
right.
sitting here going, well, what if we just screen 500 films? And then everybody's like, well, then the festival would be watered down and would not be of value to anybody. And,
right.
and that's something that I have to learn. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. It is tough.
Well, Jim, we're almost out of time. It's been great talking to
you.
Well,
thanks so much for having me, Dwayne. Yeah. And thanks again for supporting us. And I hope, you know, it really means a lot to us.
Oh, yeah. We thank a lot of you guys as well. You're going to also be back on July 29th.
Yeah,
we'll
I'll be back
more
on to talk about our selections.
And also A Chance of Snow.
And,
which we
and
didn't
A Chance
really
of
talk
Snow,
about
which,
this time.
Yeah, no, we're, yeah, Chance of Snow is, I'm excited. So I can't wait to talk to you guys in July, and then I guess you'll have some filmmakers on after that.
Yeah, it's starting in August and into September.
Yep,
we'll
including Miss Bella Marco will be visiting. I'm gonna call and harass her.
All right. All right, well, thank you. Talk to you later.